Once again, I want to thank you for your attendance today, coming out. Pray that something be said or done today that will bless you and will stir your heart and stir your soul. You know, today is homecoming for the church. 51 years. It's not many churches can say that. But it's a whole lot of my head that do say it, that they have, or they'll have 100 years or something like that, or 75th or something like that. But they're not teaching, and they're not preaching the Word of God. I believe, and what I know, and what in understanding, and what I know from Brother Poovey, is that he stayed with the book, and he preached the Word of God. And I know people today, that's not popular anymore. That's not popular for people for a pastor to get up here, or a preacher to get up here and preach the Word of God. But I'll tell you what, we've come too far to turn back now. Yeah, I know. We've come too far. I'd rather for us to go home and to heaven and say, that God will say to us that we've been faithful for 2 or 3 years, than not to be faithful to Him at all. But I know this church and what it standed on. I know Brother Poovey and what he preached and what he stand. He stand on the Word of God. And I know sometimes maybe we kind of looked at that maybe he was a little bit too strict on something. But hey, it's God's Word. It's God's Word. Doesn't make no difference how we felt or what we felt about it. It was still God's Word. And I'll say this much, a preacher or a pastor, either one that can't get up there and read the very first of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, and then they'll read everything in between that verse and the last verse in the Bible, which is Revelation 22:21. If it cannot read all of that, believe in that, and trust it, something's wrong with them. I don't want to hear anything they got to say. I don't want to hear anything they got to say about the Lord Jesus Christ, because they really don't mean it. And I know we're having people today, and we're having preachers today. Oh yeah, we gotta modernize. We gotta go out here and spend $20,000 on a screen and a computer system to where we don't have to worry about buying songbooks anymore. And the people don't have to worry about bringing their Bible to church anymore. Because we got it right there. Right there on the big screen, we got the songs that we can sing. And majority of the time, when you look at a church, and don't get me wrong, I know every last one of them don't do it, but you've got so many of them is leaning that way when they've got that screen there, and when they've got the songs there on the screen. What are they doing? They are telling the people, don't pick up the hymn book. Majority of the churches don't even have hymn books anymore. They don't. But I'll tell you one thing. But once they put the scripture on the Word of God, the scripture on the screen, what they're telling the people is, you don't need a Bible. Don't you pick up your Bible. Don't you read your Bible. Don't you study your Bible. I'm here. I'm the pastor. I'm the under shepherd. You're supposed to follow me. No. I'm supposed to follow God. You're supposed to follow God. But we're supposed to come in a collective as people in serving God. Not no more. They don't want people to pick up the Bibles anymore. That's the reason that you cannot find a King James Bible in the bookstores. Hardly ever you are ever going and you'll pick up a King James Bible. Because it's not there. They got, you can see what their emphasis is on. Their emphasis is on all the other translations. Hey, they need to get back to the Word of God. They need to get back and telling the people, hey, see somebody over there picking up a NIV or American Standard or something like that. The individual that owns the place or the individual that's running it, that she comes to, I have a better Bible for you. Matter of fact, it's just a little cheap. They said, which one is it? They'll pull it out. They said, here it is, it's the King James Bible. And the first thing the individual will say to them, I can't understand the King James Bible. I can't understand. How many individuals in here today has heard that before? That they say, I just don't understand the King James. I just don't understand the Bible. What's speaking to me? The reason they don't understand it, the reason the Word of God's not speaking to them, I'm just as blunt as they come. You ain't saved. I just don't believe you're saved. If the Word of God don't speak to their heart and tell them that what they're doing is wrong, and convict the heart, something is wrong with them. Something is wrong with them. Yes, they got the form of godliness, but they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ living in their life. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 12 in verses 8 and 9. Now I said all of that. Really, I don't even know why, but I did. But the Lord has a reason for it. But here in chapter 12 of the book of Deuteronomy. You know, Deuteronomy, it's a good book. I like the book of Deuteronomy. Because it tells you about some things that's happening. Way back. When you had the children of Israel, the same thing happened to the children of Israel then is happening today. Christians are turning their back on God. So-called Christians. I should have rephrased that first. So-called Christians is turning their back on God. We don't need to turn our back on God. We need to listen to the Word of God that helps us and directs our path. Here in chapter 12 of the book of Deuteronomy, verse 8 and 9. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. Verse 16 it says, only ye shall not eat the blood. Ye shall pour it upon the earth as water. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates. The tithes of the corn, or thy wine, or of thy oil, or the firstling of the herd, or of thine flock, nor any of thy vows which thou vowest. Knoweth thy free will offering of half offerings of thy hand. We know that in the Word of God over here, and even back in the book of Genesis, and not just the book of Genesis, but throughout some of the Old Testament books, you can see and you can read about Jacob. Jacob, he loved the house of the Lord. He loved Bethel. He loved going to Bethel, which Bethel means the house of prayer, the house of God. He loved going there. How many of us today love coming to church? I love coming to church. When I miss, and yes, and I missed some. But when I miss, I feel like the next time I come to service, it's been a week, a month, or two since I've been. I don't like to stay out. I don't want to stay out. I don't want to stay out because I know that I'm missing a blessing that God has for me. But the children of Israel right here, Moses, he was delivering a message to the children of Israel today, back then. Today, that's what the pastor, that's what the preachers, that's what the under-shepherd needs to do, is deliver the message that God has laid on his heart. Not only that, the message that we preach should be with the thought behind it that we're concerned about the individuals that we're preaching to, that we're concerned about the life that they're living, that I'm concerned about their well-being. You know, we say the church, come to the house of the Lord. You know something? This is an emergency room for the Christians. For the Christians to come in and be healed by the Word of God. That they can be touched by the Word of God, can help them to go out that week. But we see right here in other verses down here, in verse 2 and 3, ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nation which ye shall possess serve thy gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow thy altars and break thy pillars and burn thy groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven image of their gods and destroy the name of them out of that place. We need to do away with the gods that we have in secret that we are serving. And it can be our jobs. Matter of fact, As far as me, I can allow myself in looking at what I'm doing here, that I could treat that as a god. Why? Because that's all the things that I look to. That's not all of it. We don't need to just look at what we're doing right then and right there. I don't need to be looking at the next service here. I don't need to be looking at Wednesday night service. I don't need to be looking ahead of time. I need to be focused on what I'm doing outside. And if we're focused on the things outside, then we can be focused on the things that's going on inside. And we have to be focused. We have to be focused to the point that we understand what God is all about. God is not about in saving me once again. What God is about now is God is about me and going and trying to win somebody else to Him. And I can't win, I cannot go out here and win somebody if I've got all of my mind, my thoughts, and everything dwelt right here at the church. And what the church needs, and what we need to do around the church house, and what we need to do, what modernization we need to do, and what this and that. I wouldn't be able to concentrate on what God wants me to do as I hear. So that's the reason that I must lean on Jesus. I must lean on Him with every being that I have. Because when I lean on Him, that means either I'm going to follow Him or I'm going to fall. Right? If I lean, if you're standing here, Brother Bill, if you happen to stand right here and I get to kind of stumbling a little bit and I start leaning on you, if I start leaning on you and then you lead and I'm supposed to follow you. But as you turn around and as you lean and as you go about, and if I don't stay that close to you, what's going to happen? I'm going to hit the floor. I'm going to hit the floor or I'm going to stop right there dead in my tracks. I'm not going to go no further. Now, we must lean on Jesus with everything that we have. And if we lean on Jesus with everything that we have, then we're going to come out on the other side. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. We have people now, they go to Buddha. They go to Muhammad. They go to all these for them to do something for them. They ain't done nothing for them. It's not but one that can. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other individual, no other name is given. It's amazing how many things people seem like what they're seeking. Seemingly seeking after this. That, yes, oh, doggone it. Today's Sunday. I know I'm supposed to be at church this morning. But you know something? For Sears and J.C. Penney and all them, they got a good sale on today. I can go over that. I can save 40, 50, 60%. And what then they say, well, what I can save in that. Then when I get back to church, I can take and give that savings to the church. Hey, that's just another cop-out. They ain't gonna do that. Another cop out. We must give God everything that we have. We must surrender our life, our soul, our body, our home, our automobile. We must surrender everything that we have to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, if I surrender all that, what's gonna happen to it if my automobile get to the point to where it won't run no more?
When the last time I looked and last time I talked to God is that he has enough money to put me in another automobile. And he will do it as long as we're doing his work. But no, don't expect him to come by and bless us with this and that when we're not going out and witnessing to the people. We've got to witness to the people. We've got to witness to them. Let them know in whom we serve. We should not be ashamed of the one that we serve. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Are you? I'm not ashamed of what he's done for me. He went to Calvary just for me. And I'm not ashamed of that. And I'm not ashamed because he has called me to preach. Yes, sometimes I wonder why. Yes, I wonder why sometimes he's called me to preach when he's got other individuals out here getting to do a whole lot better job. But he called me. He called me. So I must lean on Jesus every moment of that day. He sought me. How did he go about seeking me out? How? One thing, he left heaven. He left heaven to come down to this great big mass of universe that him, the Father, had created. And he come down for one reason and one reason only. That was to go all the way to the cross. He knew where his destiny was. He knew where he was going to end up at. Because he had the Father's will. And he was going to obey the Father's will at all cost. And when he followed God's will, he went to Calvary. He hung there between heaven and earth for all of humanity. For the whole world to just come and ask him to be the Savior, to be the Redeemer for them. But people don't get it today. You know, you can take the message there talking about Lot and his wife, where she ended up as a pillar of salt. You can take that message in itself, Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happened there, the sin that took over that place. Not only took over that place, but took over Lot's wife. We can take that. And we can look at it this way. Look at what God is allowing to happen in the United States of America. Any other country that went from the immorality and the sin that this country has gone to, they never stood. They was defeated. Hey, it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long. We are not, we have not seen the last. We have not heard of the last.
going to get worse, worse, and worse. And then when it gets that way, then it's going to still get worse and worse until the Lord comes back after His children. I'm a child of the King. My prayer is that I hope everyone in here in this room today is a child of the King, that one day when we get to heaven, we're going to say it was worth it all. All the headaches that we went through, all the turmoil, all the sickness that we went through, it was worth it. It was worth it. And what I may have to end up going through, I don't know. But the Lord does. I just praise His name. Because I know Him as my Savior and as my Lord. Until we get home. And I'm not talking about this earthly place either. I'm talking about that heavenly home. Until we get home there in heaven, each individual, we need to long for revival in ourselves. I know we're about ready to have revival in October, but you know something? Brother James, he cannot come and bring revival. Brother James cannot come and say that he's here to bring about revival. No. Where revival needs to start at, it's within our own hearts and within our own souls. So when we do have that revival, that means that we're closer to God today than we ever have been before in our life. Why? Because we're having revival within our soul. An individual that does not have revival within the heart is something wrong. Something wrong with our life. Until we get home, we must leave our sins at Calvary. In other words, what I'm trying to say, we must leave our sin at the foot of the Lord Jesus at the altar. When we come each and every time, and when we come up here, and we will come before the church, and we sit on either the front pews or even we'll come to the altar and just stand here and pray. We must leave them there. We can't do nothing with them. We can't take care of them. That was a proven fact because we come to the altar. Then we come forth. We come to the altar and we come here and we're asking God to take care of that situation. That's a proven fact. But yet, just like I said, I believe it was last Sunday, that we don't wait on the Lord. We just don't wait on Him when we come to the altar. And when we bring it to the altar. And when we bring it, we're leaving it at the feet of Jesus. And that is at the foot of the cross. It's where we're leaving it. And we must leave it there. And when we leave it there, God will do something with it. But I think a whole lot of times the reason it seems like it takes so long for God to answer that prayer is because God knew us before. He knew how many times we come forth. He knew how many times I come forth. And I prayed.
And I was leaving my prayer at the altar. But yet then I turn around and I go back to my pew. Before I even sat down in my pew, I been and took up the burdens once again. Why? I did not trust him enough with it. Hey, it's the truth. Either you leave him there or you don't trust him. Hey, I trust him. He's kept me saved all these years. He's going to keep me saved until that day comes when I'm going to stand before them. And I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for saving my soul. Till we get home, we must love and we must cherish individuals that's what Jesus was all about. I still say to this day, I don't understand why he even saved me. But when I get into the scripture, I read the scripture, then I understand it. Because he loved me. He first loved me. Before I even knew what the word love even meant, he loved me. He even loved me there that day at Calvary when he was hanging between heaven and earth. He loved me that much that he was willing to go and die for me. Till we get home, we must love our brethren and our sisters in the Lord. We must love them. We must love them to the point that where if you hurt, I hurt. It may not be the same type of hurt, but a hurt in my heart. You're hurt with your heart. But people today, they don't have no concern over themselves. All the sickness and the suffering and all the shame that's going around. People they just don't believe God can help them. If you don't believe God can help them, what you're saying is you're serving the devil. And you're saying to me and to you that are Christians, the Lord can't help me. And they leave it at that. But what they're not telling you is, and what they're saying, but the devil, he can help me. He can help me. Yes, I can go out here and I can do this and I can do that. Where I can get a little more money built up to where I can go ahead and buy me a new car. That's all they got on their mind, a new car, a new home. We don't need to have our minds focused in on a new home. We don't need to have our minds focused in on a new automobile, because the automobile cannot go with us. The new home cannot go with us. We're going to have a brand spanking new home. And I believe this, that when we get there, we're going to be treated as royalty. By who? By the Lord Jesus Christ. Loyalty. Because Have we been loyal to Him? Or have we? Are we just loyal to Him on Sunday? Or Wednesday? Or any other day? Are we just loyal to Him that we need something? Are we? Are we just loyal to Him when we need something? We need to be loyal to Him all the time. When we either need it or when we don't. When the Lord blesses us, we still need to be loyal to Him. When He doesn't bless us, still need to be loyal to Him. Because He is worthy. He is worthy of everything. And the last thing that I have written down here, till we get home, till I get home to that heavenly home, I must tell people about the catching away. Or we say as Baptists, the rapture, which the word rapture is not even in the Bible. It's the catching away. But when we are caught away, and we enter in the portals of glory, hey, that's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all. It's nothing that can bring us happiness. But people today, they're looking in the wrong places for it. They're looking for that strong drink to bring them happiness. They're looking to drugs that can ease their pain. And they have a deadness about them. They are not living. Their life is just dead. And when your life is dead, what does it say in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1? In whom He has quickened. The word quickened means that He has made me alive. I'm alive because He's quickened me. He quickened me through the Word of God. He quickened me there that day at Calvary. Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your hands and lift up your heads, for your redemption draw nigh. Hey, we got something to look up to. We got something that we need to look up to. And that's the homecoming that's going to be of all homecomings. I do thank the Lord that we do have homecoming at the churches. But I think the homecomings that we have on this side is really a glimpse and a reminder of the true homecoming. Our Father, we want to thank You, Lord, today. Father, that You may bless the people, Father, with Thy word. Father, that we must continue to lean on You at every cost. Now, Father, we pray, Lord, as the invitation song is being sung, God, if it's anything on the individual's hearts, we pray, Father, that they'll step out by faith and come to an old-fashioned altar to where they can turn their cares over to Thee and allow You to take care of them. Father, we want to thank You. Go with us today, Father, in the homecoming, and Father, be with us over there as we eat. Lord, we just want to thank You. We want to love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.